This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Chris Mason and I began the conversation with him, and we had the first few questions. Then people started to come into the mix, and his tone changed a little bit. That was a guy who doesn't want to be here anymore.
You having been at the locker,
Yeah. There's
no splitting hairs. When he was asked,
he was laughing.
It's like an alley-oop. He meant, I would like to be traded.
Here it is. Throw it up, and I'll dunk it.
I'll dunk that down and get
and
my plane ticket.
He later in the conversation, I kid you not, it went on for like 8 minutes. And somebody at the end got him to say, well, do you want to be in New England? And he said, of course. And I'm like, you didn't say it when Chris asked you if you wanted to be traded. And then when I said, boy, it doesn't sound like you have a problem with getting traded. And he didn't say that he had a problem being traded.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. That was Mike Giardi last night on NBC Sports Boston. That was a good addition to the tweet we read late in the show yesterday, Keith, because I didn't understand the full backstory there until I heard Giardi explained it in full. And KJ Osborne's at his locker. It's just Chris Mason and Mike Giardi. And they're asking if he wants to be traded. He calls it an alley-oop and laughs and says, right now I'm going to rock with it. But he laughed at the idea, like, guys, it's so obvious. Like, whoa, what was that obvious about wanting a trade?
I know.
He laughs. And then later on, more reporters come over. Giardi and Mason sound a little territorial about that. And
well, they might have gotten more out of him had not more people come over.
100%. Yeah. But ultimately, he said, he's asked, does he want to stay in New England? And finally, he's like, well, yeah, of course I do. But I think the cat was already out of the bag. He had already told the truth. And then with a bigger group of reporters that maybe he was less comfortable with, or just he didn't want it to turn into more of a story.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, yeah, I want to stay in New England, which contradicts what he said earlier and what he put on social media the other day. And so it's just another issue they got to deal with. And it's an example of how lost this locker room is and how lost Gerard Mayo is.
Yeah, you have a lot of disgruntled players is what you're dealing with. Now, most of them seem to be wide receivers, but those guys are all pretty upset. They all think they're better than they are, which is another whole side story to it. But, I mean, think about that. I mean, KJ Osborne might want to be gone, right? Might want to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in the locker room with a bunch of media members, and if somebody asked you that, how easy is it to be like, no, I want to be here.
Yeah.
And then they move on to the next thing, and they might probably go talk to somebody else. But like for you to sort of laugh and then talk about it. So like you don't really have a problem with that information being out there. You clearly didn't because you posted that thing, that nonsense, like a friend of yours thinks that you're good or whatever. Like, great. So you posted that. And so it's just more guys being unhappy. And it just seems like, all right, if this team's going to turn around, I can't imagine these things keep piling up. And that's a good thing. So it's just every day, it seems like there's something else for Gerard Mayo and the whole coaching staff really to deal with.
And since you mentioned the whole coaching staff, just circling back to Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
You know, he was asked about Kayshon Boutte wanting more targets. You know, he said, I think we're all frustrated. I think that group, wide receivers in particular, have to keep the focus inward. So that's a little critical from him.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to Van Pelt, or at least we're scheduled to talk to Van Pelt tomorrow here on Jones and Keith. He also, and we read you this quote earlier, but he said part of the discussion with the wide receivers in a team meeting that they had was taking better care of yourself, rehabbing harder and better. Is that the issue? Rehabbing harder? Is that the issue?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like they've actually been a fairly healthy group compared. I mean, they're a lot healthier than the offensive line is. And I don't know. I mean, Polk now has a concussion, but that's sort of like a new one, and he missed practice yesterday.
I just think, don't we think more was going on in London than just guys not getting their treatment? Like, I think.
That's what it feels like to me. I mean, Kendrick Bourne didn't say that. Kendrick Bourne said, you know, staying up all late and eating whatever is what he referred to.
Yeah, and so.
I don't think it's that.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're out partying, but reading between the lines, it certainly feels that way.
So Polk has already thought he was limited.
Yeah.
Tyquan Thornton's upset that he's not playing as much as he is. Boutte wants the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
Pop Douglas wants the ball more. KJ Osborne doesn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
Javon Baker thinks he's a top 10 receiver. Jalen Polk thinks he has the best hands in the league.
Oh, best hands in the league, right.
Yeah.
I don't think any of that has to do with how much ice they're getting.
No.
Or, you know, how much stim they're getting on their back.
I don't think so.
I think these guys have other issues right now.
And so, you know, to me, that whole thing, it feels like a convenient cover-up where it's like, oh, yeah, get better treatment and now let's move on and you know, blow past this story when
I wonder what the young receivers are up to off the field.
Right, when that's also the difference between like an adult and maybe not an adult, right? So like Alex Van Pelt is going to give you an answer. It's not the right answer, but it's a answer to hopefully move on.
But I think this is
Osborne's not going
to
do that.
This is how they're trying to move it along.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't buy it. You know, no. I don't buy it. And I don't get why we're getting next questioned by Christian Gonzalez if there wasn't more to the story.
Do you think there's any chance that the six receivers that are currently on the team are on the team at the end of the year?
No.
Hell no. They're going to probably maybe trade Bourne and then maybe just cut Osborne would be my guess.
Yeah.
Maybe Tyquan Thornton gets cut. Like, they don't need as many as they have.
Cut Thornton, cut Osborne, trade Bourne.
Yeah.
Probably to
San
Fran.
And then you still probably have enough.
And we got texts earlier today, 37937, that, oh, well, you guys say you need more veteran leadership on the team and your answer is to trade Kendrick Bourne. Well, yeah. Kendrick Bourne is on the team. He's the veteran in the room, and the room's a mess. So, like, I don't have a problem with Kendrick Bourne individually.
Unless you're bringing in, like, Bobby Wagner and Andrew Whitworth, like, these, like, Walter Payton men of the year. Like, unless you're bringing those guys in, it doesn't seem like who you have in here is doing much of a difference anyway. So, yeah, you lose a little bit of leadership, but leadership is not nowhere near a strength of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just create more opportunity. I think part of it right now is you have a logjam with the receivers. You need to figure out who deserves to be here next year. Like, that's a big thing that you need to figure out. If it can't be an entire loss season, meaning you're one or two wins and then you're like, what about the roster next year? Like, I don't know, like this guy maybe, like we kind of saw him. You should know by the end of the year, is Javon Baker worth a damn? Is Jalen Polk, I mean, not that you're going to cut Jalen Polk after 1 year, but you know what I'm saying? Like, can you rely on him? Do you need to bring in two receivers, or can you only need to bring in one
and give him a chance to, like, really figure out what they are? I agree. You're not going to cut Jalen Polk, but you may approach the offseason differently if you don't see improvements from Polk down the stretch. Same thing with Javon Baker. Same thing with Pop Douglas. Same thing with Kayshon Booty. Like, those four should play play a lot down the stretch so that you know, do we have something in this wide receiver room? Probably not. But what is Kayshon Booty? Is he...
So I kind of like him a little bit.
Okay, but right. So, but use the last 10 weeks to figure out, is he a guy you want on the team next year, or can you upgrade that? Same thing with that whole room. And so that's the real reason why I'd move Kendrick Bourne. And yeah, maybe Bourne's an adult in the room. We love talking to him when he came on the show a few weeks ago, but it's not like he's helping the leadership in that room.
I hope we get him
right
tomorrow.
Now.
I know that's sort of TBD as well, but we'll have a coordinator and a player tomorrow. And there's a lot going on in that room right now, a lot kind of flying around. And that's why these games too, even though they're big underdogs, they're by no means expected to win. But you also get the sense like, all right, this is what it looks like after six losses. Like, what's it going to look like after seven or after eight? Like, do they just get numb to it, or does it just get worse and worse and worse?
I think I probably know the answer. It's going to get worse and worse and
worse,
it feels like.
That's what I think.
And so you have Booty demanding targets. You have KJ Osborne wanting to get traded on the heels of all these other issues for this team. And you have to wonder if Jerod Mayo can get any buy-in from the team moving forward, and if he can't, what does it mean for his job security? Like, a lot is at stake this week in this game, Keith, more so than just a win. Can he get the team to respond? Because it does feel like the full-on mutiny that Evan Lazar hinted at a few weeks ago, he seemed to make it seem like it was more about the quarterback and the decision they're moving on from Jacoby Brissett.
That's been made.
Now they've done it, and the mutiny's gotten worse.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It seems like you got like a little bit of a spark on the field offensively, like a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, but defensively, you've fallen apart and you've still lost both games that Drake May played. So, you know, maybe that issue is obviously kind of put to bed. Nobody's really talking about that. I think everybody's on, like, that's one thing you're not hearing about, right? Like, there's no murmurings like, they should have stuck with Brissett.
No.
Like, there's none of that. So, like, maybe it was too late, but they at least made the right decision. It feels like everything else, though, is still. Guys are bothered by it or pointing fingers, whether it be at each other or at the coaching staff.
So to me, with the trade deadline less than 2 weeks away, it seems pretty easy. Cut Osborne, trade Bourne, free up some of those reps in the wide receiver room, give opportunity to more young players, see if they mesh with Drake May, and then go from there. Are they purely sellers, or is there a reason to look to add and buy at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, you got to see what's out there and how low some of these prices go, and then maybe there's a good player that you can help Drake May with, right? Like, DeAndre Hopkins probably wasn't that player, but he gets flipped and goes to the Chiefs for a fifth-round pick. That could be a fourth-round pick, so that isn't much. So I wouldn't dismiss the fact that maybe you can bring somebody in, but for me, it's such a lost season. Hopefully they'll spend big money in the offseason. I know there's no guarantee. Keep your high and good draft picks. And I would mainly make trades to free up spots for guys that might be logged, like the first, second-year players that aren't playing as much that you really want to see. And maybe they're split in time with a four-year, five-year veteran who's really not going to be a part of your future. Like KJ Osborne, whether he was saying stuff or not, I'd be like, I don't really.
He wasn't saying anything in week one. I wanted him off the team.
Correct.
Yeah.
So same kind of idea. And so somebody's texting like, why get rid of Kendrick Bourne? He's one of the few that's not saying anything. True. But like, that's not like a sending a message, get rid of. That's a, all right, for the future of our team.
He's something you could get a mid to late round pick for.
And yet, he actually is the only guy in that whole room that might have value across the league right now.
Yeah, Osborne has no value. Yeah. Bourne has a little value. There's the logic there.
But I really just want to see Baker and Pop and Booty and Polk play. Like, I want your two rookies from last year, your two rookies this year. I want more playing time for them.
I don't get these texts. 37937, why are you shocked the team is 1-6? It's not that they're 1-6. I'm surprised by that. I thought they'd be better wins and losses wise, but Keith, you thought they'd be right here.
Yeah, no, this is what I expected. But again, once you see it play out this way, it's crazy.
It's not just the record. If we just zoomed ahead to, you know, October 24th and we told you they're 1-6, well, that's easy enough. But if you lived all the crap that happened in between, that's what we're surprised about. That's something I don't think anyone saw coming.
No.
If anything, the whole idea is that Jerod Mayo was going to get the team pulling in the same direction. He was going to be better for the locker room. And it turns out he's not doing the first thing, and he's worse for the locker room.
No, it's been pretty bad all the way around.
I'm on record.
You're on record?
Absolutely.
All right, good.
I'm sorry. Let me get the whole one.
Yeah.
You got me on record.
Yeah. All right.
That we're going to win more than four games.
Yeah.
We're going to win more than four games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm on the record, he says. So, like, by the
slow
way.
Slow start. They got to get into gear here.
By the way, text messenger, not everyone feels that way. That would include the head coach. Who wanted to be on the record, they're going to win more games this year.
Right. He took the Vegas over because, conveniently, he was 4.5.
Yeah.
And so he took the over.
Yeah.
I did not.
I did. Yeah. Not loving it. No. Not loving the
still
ride.
Still day. Still time.
Still
time. Turnaround starts this weekend.
Some would say too much time.
Yep.
Is what some would say. Bill is in New Hampshire. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Hey, I got to tell you guys, I've been watching and listening to sports radio for years, and you are the best twosome I've ever seen.
Oh.
And you guys realize how valuable you are. Mm. You entertain, you're knowledgeable.
Yeah.
The two of you don't interrupt each other. Please stay with what you're doing. That's my only message.
Okay, stay.
Is that a prank?
No, that's
who
just.
That call?
That was a prank call?
That was a 10 of 10 no notes call for Jones and Keefe.
Put that in the week in review for every week.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
Okay, we already have like 8 things from this week, but we can slide it in.
I don't take compliments.
Make
well.
A never-ending promo out of it.
And seriously, just to keep a loop. Like, I think I heard that one.
Yeah, I probably talked over him too much for that, for a promo.
Yeah,
shame on me.
Mouth.
Yeah, seriously.
It's
too complimentary. Maybe uncomfortable.
If that is genuine, Bill, that is very kind. Thank you for saying it. And if it's not,
if it's a bet, congrats on what you won.
Yeah, good one.
If it's not, you got it.
I assume every time there's like a text that comes in, we're reading them during the break, and if it's like a, hey, guys, great show, I'm like, what's his angle?
Oh, yeah.
What does he mean? Oh, yeah, great show?
Oh, yeah,
oh, yeah
show.
You love the show?
Oh, you like the show? Get out of here.
Don't you dare. Well, anyway, that's very kind, Bill.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a lot of pressure, though.
It is.
Keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Keep it up. Keep going. You got this.
Nowhere to go but down.
No, well.
Peak too soon.
They said about the Patriots.
Flew too close to the sun.
They're like, they bottomed out last year. No, they didn't. Bottoming out this year.
We were talking about adding, I know Andy's been big on this, WEI Afternoons, Andy Hart. Go get Cooper Kupp.
So I love Cooper Kupp, but again, there's injuries there for one, and he's like an older player. There's been a lot of receivers that have been thrown out there, and you can rank them any way you want. To me, Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp are better than Amari Cooper, Brandon Ayuk, and then you got to go even further down to like Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hopkins is sort of in the middle now. I just feel like the older guys I'd probably go towards. No, I do want to pair Drake May up with somebody, and maybe T. Higgins is just too much of like a pipe dream. And I also think with a lot of these receivers, I think it's one thing to want them and say, hey, this would be good. But they all have de facto no trade clauses. And I still don't think any of those guys would want to come here. Look where they're going. They're going to the Bills. They're going to the Chiefs. Like they're going to the Jets is sort of different just because of Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think Elliott Wolf should at least be finding out what the price is and if there's any interest. But like, I'm not going to lose my mind if Cooper Kupp goes somewhere else.
And Mayo came out and said they did not call about Davante Adams or Amari Cooper. They weren't in anyway. He didn't say they didn't call, but they weren't in on those teams. He said they're at a different point. The idea of getting a receiver, and maybe it's not Cooper Kupp, maybe it's Diontae Johnson, you know, who I think is about to completely fall out of favor in Carolina. They're going back to Bryce Young. Did you see that this week?
Well, Andy Dalton got in like a car accident.
Yeah, but I thought he wasn't hurt.
No, I think he maybe not like seriously
like medically hurt, but
I think
not enough to play.
Like football hurt.
Got it. Regardless, it's like, is Carolina going to do the same thing where they're let's sell off pieces?
I would take Diontae Johnson.
And so is that a name, or is there somebody like that that you can bring in? You're not going anywhere this year, but you do have an extra third-round pick from the Judon trade. Is there a guy like that you can bring in to grow with Drake May? And I like the Cooper Kupp seems like a quarterback's best friend. He's not cheap, although he's not as expensive as some of the best receivers. He's injury-prone, so there are definitely issues there, and he probably wants to play for a contender.
Yeah.
But is there a guy that you can add that Drake May can grow with and get a rapport with so that you hit the ground running next year and you can get a jump on free agency where the Patriots sat it out last year? I mean, that would be the idea of making an add at the trade deadline.
Yeah, now it seems kind of tough. And I know there's been a
not winning more games, getting growth and a rapport with Drake May.
Yeah, no, for sure. But you look at the pretty much it'd have to be the bad teams, right? Like the teams that are already out of it, like you, that happen to have a good receiver. And we just saw like three of them get dealt, you know, so I don't even know how many more there are. Cause I was trying to do this. I was like, all right, does Tennessee get rid of all their guys? Well, they already got rid of Hopkins. You know, you look at the Rams might have that fire sale. There's nobody you want off the Giants besides Malik Nabers. You know, there's nobody on the, I don't think the Saints are trading Olave. So I tried doing this. I don't really know if there's a lot of good candidates right now.
No,
it doesn't seem like it.
And
that's why I think, you know, you end up just the fallback is see what you have in your guys. And yeah, that's not ideal for Drake May, but now he has to elevate the other guys and see which ones he has a connection with.
Yeah, I would love for them to add, but if that guy's not there, I agree. You got to see what you have in this room. You
got Jacoby Myers.
You got to see what you have in May. No. You want Jacoby Myers? I like Jacoby Myers. He's a better player than I thought when he was here, but what is he?
Isn't Polk supposed to be like Jacoby Myers a little bit? No, he's not.
I mean, he's supposed to be.
I'm not trying to insult Jacoby Myers. I'm just saying that's what I'm sold that.
Get Jacoby Myers on the line. He'd slap you in the face.
Yeah, sorry about
like,
that.
Like, that's, you know, you got a guy
I didn't
who can't
mean
catch
that. He was supposed to be like that.
Best hands in the league, Jalen Polk. Yeah, no, that's not a good enough player.
No.
Good player, but not good enough.
Yep.
Bob is in New Hampshire. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys. I think you really have to get away from being kind of like ESPN, which is the irritating, speculating, postulating network.
I like the last caller better,
The Patriots' problem is not getting a good wide receiver.
What's their
you
problem?
Know, they're all over the league, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Can these guys catch the ball? I don't know. Are they complaining because they're losing? I would too. But getting a good wide receiver doesn't make a difference if you can't fix the offensive line. The entire team.
What about the last 2 weeks, Bob? Haven't they been able to throw the ball last couple of weeks?
O-line's been pretty good, Bob, the last couple of weeks, no?
You know, no doubt, but we know they've been injured. Okay. We know that this kid, Drake May, is still running for his life. He's being really creative, but that's not enough. It's not enough time for the running backs. It's not enough time for the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It's not enough time for the quarterback.
I like the last caller better.
Much better.
Yeah.
What was that? That was a plant the other way.
Yeah.
That was
an overcorrection.
Was that Vinny from The Challenge? Maybe Vinny from The Challenge coming in? Being like, these guys... He had like a whole acronym. I didn't realize what he was doing at first, but he had really long words associated with ESPN.
Yeah.
He thought we were being too much like ESPN. If we were like ESPN, Bob, we would have led with LeBron followed by the Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right, so we're not ESPN.
You know who ESPN doesn't talk about?
Yeah, who?
The Patriots.
No, they're done with that.
I mean,
no,
unless they're a dumpster fire, their coach is calling them soft. I'm sure that might, be discussed on some of the programs. But you know who ESPN doesn't talk about? The Patriots. People nationally don't talk about the Patriots right now.
I forgot how much I enjoyed the what about the O-line calls. It'd been 2 weeks for 5 straight weeks, and I kind of got it. They were horrible. It was a train wreck. But then we stopped getting them because Drake May made the team look a little bit better.
Drake May has proved how overrated all of those what about the O-line people are.
They don't need a receiver. All due respect, Bob.
Right, but fine, but like, so if you think, but the idea is the same. Like, adding, I don't think the Patriots should rule out adding at the deadline. There's value in adding at the deadline. It's not to win games. It's not to turn your season around. That ship has sailed. But it's to get pieces for next year, and there might be a buying opportunity now.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.